at the 26-yard line. Henry, running lane. Henry! Turning on the speed, Derrick Henry. Stiff arm. Henry, another. Oh, he's done it again. Oh, Henry! Touchdown, Titans. You knew it was coming.
Blitz coming. Mariota throws in the end zone. Man is there. Touchdown, Titans! Corey Davis, his first ever touchdown catch at Nissan Stadium. That's why you pick him. That's why you want him. And that's why Marcus Mariota is the man.
Here we go then. It's emergency podcast time. I'm Adam. This is the Transatlantic Titans podcast. And we have got a new head coach to announce. Brian Callahan, Tennessee Titans head coach. I think the last time we spoke, Mike Vrabel was on his way out of the door. So hopefully a bit more positive, a little podcast for you this evening. I've got Mars with me, first of all. How are you doing, Mars?
Hey, I'm all good. Happy to introduce our new coach. I'm sure he'll be listening and he'll want to hear all our positive thoughts about him. So yeah, looking forward to getting into it.
I'm sure he's well into paying full attention to what the media think. This is probably the first place he'd look. I'd be disappointed if he doesn't. So obviously we'll be completely nice. But yeah, potentially a change in mindset for the Tennessee Titans. We've had all sorts of rumors of, I think, well, if you haven't had an interview or a virtual interview or been linked with the position in the last month, are you even a coordinator in the NFL, I would say. But a few defensively minded people sprung up, a few offensively minded people as well. But we've got, yeah, definitely a change in approach. And obviously coming for offensive coordinator coming from the Bengals, is going to be a change in style, I would suspect. Before I go any further, I'm just going to play a clip of Brian Callahan talking in the last offseason. A friend of the show, Mike Herndon, clipped this, so I've unashamedly stolen this. But this is his ethos, some thoughts about the passing game versus the running game, and just potentially the change of mindset that we can expect.
You know, the teams that win the most games are generally the teams that pass the ball the best. That's usually because they have really good quarterbacks, and usually because they have guys that can make plays on football outside. And so you're seeing the teams invest in that part of the game really across the board. And, you know, we're no different. We spent really two top 35 picks on receivers and on a quarterback. And so we've invested in it as well. But I do think that's the shift in the league these days, is that the passing game has become the focal point. However, that does leave you opportunities to be really effective and efficient running the football, because defenses do the same thing. They still give the resources to the pass game, which then gives you opportunities, hopefully, in the run game to run against light boxes and numbers advantage and all that stuff. So I think the running back is still an important part of an NFL offense. It just has changed in the way that people view it and look at it, but it's still have to be able to do those things to play good football.
So there you go. That's the new Tennessee Titans head coach. Also joining us, I have got Paul from Bengals UK. Who Day UK, would you call yourselves?
Bengals UK first, I'd say.
Bengals UK. I like either. We spoke 2 or 3 years ago on this podcast. So, welcome back. Not many people come back for the second appearance. Congrats on that, I guess.
It seems like an auspicious time to do it, really. It's must be, I don't know, are you guys excited or are you a bit trepidatious? What's the feeling with you guys there?
Miles, answer that first. Go on.
I'm just relieved it's not Dan Quinn, if I'm honest. after that was out the way, I was sort of like, okay, let's see. I think I spoke last time about how I really wanted to lean towards an offensive coordinator taking up the role rather than defensive. So a couple of names have been floated around. Obviously, you had the Detroit OC and then Ravens DC. There's a lot of names. Like you said, I think plenty of people were interviewed for the position. I mean, looking at his history, he's fairly new to it all. He's a stint in Denver, a year in Detroit, year in Oakland, and then he's been a Joe Burrow's guy, making him turn into what is one of the top quarterbacks in the league, along with an offense that, you know, takes advantage from many different positions. Straight away my head went to, okay, we're getting T. Higgins and he's going to have 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns next year and all this and that. We've got to wait for their franchise tag. But as a hire itself, I'm happy to get an OC in the door. I think it's what the team needs. I think just going over 30 points this year, I feel, regardless of what happens, would be the biggest achievement for the Titans. So if he can contribute towards that, then that keeps me and the fans happy.
Well, that would be the first time in over 2 years to score 30 points in a game. A change might be a good thing. I was impressed this year with the way that obviously Joe Burrow got hurt for the Bengals and the way that they managed to still have a semi-firing offense with Browning instead. And they remain competitive, like ourselves, didn't make the playoffs, Paul. But I mean, how much of that is down to Zach Taylor? How much of that is down to Brian Callahan? Obviously, other players on the roster, other coaching staff. I feel like it's probably near the top of my list. If not that I've made a list specifically, but my reaction was, yeah, I'm happy with this. I'm well prepared for you to take the air out of our bubble. But I guess the question, Paul, is, are you sorry to see him go, inevitable as it was? Also, how do you see the dynamic between him and Zach Taylor, who deserved the most credit for Joe Burrow's development and the prolific Bengals offense of the last 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I'm not going to burst your bubble, I don't think, because we are. Most fans are sorry to see him go. He's a very personable man. He's very likable. He's very chilled. He's very, he's just kind of, you know, quite normal, really. He is, I would say, well, from the outside looking in, I get the impression that Vrabel was a sort of blood and thunder sort of chap, you know what I mean? Who, you know, he's a shouter. He was a big personality, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, that works absolutely. But Brian is more or less completely the opposite. I've never been in a locker room with him, so I don't know whether he shouts and screams and issues the hairdryer treatment to people. But I reckon Vrabel probably did.
He absolutely did. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Right. Okay. Brian, he's been called a player friendly coach, and what I think that means is that he is not an aggressive, big alpha personality. Do you know what I mean? He is someone that the players almost treat, and vice versa, actually, as a contemporary rather than a, you know, we're on different levels here. I'm the big dog. You're the players. And that's the way the line there is a lot more kind of squashed together. So he's part of this sort of modern wave of new coaches who, as I say, kind of around 40 years old. One of the guys, he's a really good bloke. I've had personal experience with him. He's a really nice guy. The chaps in the media room inside Paycor Stadium will probably tell you the same as well. He's really engaging. He's a complete football nerd. You know, he's definitely more on the side of Matt LaFleur than Mike Vrabel, if you see what I mean. He's kind of a nerdy-ish, but he's actually quite a normal chap. He's quite a really nice bloke, and I think fans will like him just personality-wise. He's quite honest as well. He will own up and fess up to when he thinks he's got things wrong and when, you know, the team has got things wrong. So he's quite refreshingly honest in that kind of way. He will talk to the media for a long time. He's good with his time, I must say, in terms of chatting about the games and about schemes and things like that. So that's who you're getting. A lot of Bengals fans are sorry to see him go. I mean, it's quite unprecedented, really. Despite our success, And
you've done well to hang on to him for as long as you have.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a really, I mean, continuity with coaches in Cincinnati has been really quite something, which has been great for us. You know, Lou Anarumo has been slated for a job. I think he's brilliant, and surprised that he hasn't got a look in. Maybe not this year because we had a bit of a mare defensively last year. But so Lou and Callie, you know, are kind of, you know, I think will make really good coaches. He comes from footballing stock, as you know. His dad is a very well-regarded offensive line coach, reckoned to be the best in the league. And the word is that he'll want to bring him into Nashville to
certainly need some help in that area.
Because you've got Skoronski. I saw Mel Kiper mock Joe Alt to you today as well. So that would be interesting. But anyway, yeah, and he's known for working with quarterbacks, as you mentioned. You know, he's worked with Peyton Manning in Denver. He was an offensive quality control assistant in Denver.
Taught Peyton Manning all he knows.
Apparently so. Yeah, absolutely. he worked with Matt Stafford in Detroit. He worked with Derek Carr in Oakland or Los Angeles? It was Oakland, I think, at the time.
Oakland at the time, 2018.
And obviously, kind of, you know, had a relationship with Zach and worked with Burrow. And this is the thing about continuity with coaches. I mean, this is the advantage, I think, is that if they're doing well, they, you know, they can keep growing and keep developing lockstep with the guys, with the players, you know. And with Burrow, there was a bit of a holy, well, it wasn't really so much a holy trinity, it was a holy quartet, I'd say. Zach and Brian were kind of in total synchronicity with one another. Now, Brian didn't call the plays in Cincinnati. So
whether you think that means he's ready for the head coaching position, whether that means he's going to hire a coordinator who will call plays, whether you think he
will. It's going to be really interesting, isn't it? So him and Zach worked together Brian was up in the booth for games, and him, and from what I understand, because there's actually quite a few Bengals fans as well who, you know, struggle to sort of scratch their head a little bit and still trying to figure out what he actually does, what his role is. You know, he's offensive coordinator, but he doesn't call plays. So what does that mean? What does he do? And from what I understand, if you know that Zach's released a few interviews recently, you know, he is my sort of right hand man. He's my wingman. He kind of, you know, we're chatting all the time during games. Brian helps to formulate game plans. So you know, even though he doesn't call plays, he's up there kind of seeing the whole field and kind of chatting to Zach in his ear, saying, do this, do that. And it's a two-way relationship. But you've got to throw in quarterbacks coach Dan Pitcher as well, who we're hoping will make the step up to replace Brian.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the final part of that is that you've got a supreme talent like Joe Burrow. And I'm not going to lie, he would make most coaches look really, really good. So, you know, like anything really, it's going to be interesting to see how he makes the step up. Has he got the experience? Absolutely. Has he prepared well for this? Absolutely. Has he got the footballing roots and heritage that will stand him in good stead? Absolutely. I mean, he's got an amazing footballing CV, really. So I think he's ready. I think his overall personality is suited to being a head coach. And what I mean by that is, as we all know, being a head coach compared to being coordinator is completely different. It's about culture. It's about producing a team and a club in your image. And I think he's ready for that. I think you'll notice a much less intense air. Zach and Brian approach pre-season a little bit differently. That comes into the whole player friendly aspect of it. It's not so kind of, you know, old school in that way. So yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. It's always a risk when you appoint a new head coach, isn't it? No one really knows. I always use the example of Hugh Jackson, who was a brilliant offensive coordinator for us, a really fantastic bloke. Absolutely delighted when he got his opportunity at the Raiders again, and then Cleveland latterly. But he had a nightmare in Cleveland. So
that's what he's remembered for, isn't it? I think
exactly. And that's such a shame. So you never quite know. But as far as someone being ready for it, someone having the footballing chops, someone who's had success in recent years, he ticks all of the boxes. He might not be the most, you know, he might not be the geezer from Detroit that everyone's talking about, or the offensive coordinator from Houston that everyone wants. He's not, you know, he's not the other Harbaugh that seems to be like Chargers have seems to fix their mind on. So, you know, he's perhaps not, you know, the absolute top, but he's obviously meshed with your ownership and front office. And I think he's a good appointment. Obviously time will tell, but I think he's a good appointment for you guys.
Just to compare, when I was trying to look at the appointments and I compared like our squad to the Cincinnati squad, you've got to think if we're making a potential move towards Will Levis coming in, you're thinking of Burrow when he came in. It was a young team. You had obviously Ja'Marr Chase, who again, young receiver. I feel like with the Bengals team, it was actually quite a young team, especially on offense, that he had to sort of galvanize quite quickly. And I feel like that's the same situation with Tennessee. They've looked at it and gone, okay, I mean, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, it's a young team across the receivers and the tight ends. And again, with the Bengals, with Joe Mixon compared to Henry in terms of like age, I guess they're slightly older than the other few. But I think the comparison of they wanted someone in who's going to look at Levis and go, okay, he's a bit of a project here. We've seen that there's potential there. Joe Burrow obviously came out with a lot more... not much higher, but a higher reputation, obviously, at LSU. And I feel like the way that he came in and galvanized the team really quickly is something that Tennessee are probably looking at. I think what you were saying about how he deals with the team and he's not an alpha is something that Tennessee are probably looking at, whereas Vrabel was very much outspoken and he was very loud. And we need someone who's actually going to galvanize the team and not feel like it's sort of, one above the other, as it were. I feel that's something that's really needed with the Titans offense.
I think the change aspect's interesting. The Mike Vrabel sacking shocked a lot of us, and it still feels a bit of a shock. With this appointment, I feel much better about things than I initially did. We still don't know the full story, really. We're just kind of guessing and surmising from what various people say. If the truth is that Mike Vrabel didn't want to bring anyone else in as offensive coordinator, wanted to stick with his guys, and it was sort of them or me type thing, then I'm absolutely fine with all of this. And the instinct, the knee jerk, is to kind of change things if you think something's gone stale, and make it different. And it would give anyone a shot in the arm. And for what we're talking about, the culture, he was absolutely that alpha guy in the locker room. I think most players probably liked him, but it'll be a very. It sounds like it'd be a very different character we're now going to get. It'll be a much more measured approach, probably a much more analytical approach. It feels like we should be excited right now about the future, and there's no point really looking back. We'll all have fond memories of some successful times under Coach Vrabel, but this is a positive appointment, I think, looking forward. It's an offensive in the positive sense, an offensive appointment. And yeah, we look potentially towards a passing offense, an offense that's...
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that, if I may, just briefly. Yeah. So what you're getting with Brian is a good bloke, basically. I think he's very likeable, but also, as Miles says, you know, an offensive guy. Now, what does that mean scheme wise? he's very good at rolling with the punches, and you know, long gone are the days where you can kind of say this team has an identity, right? This is something that a lot of older fans didn't get with Cincinnati. I mean, Bengals fans, because like you either have to be a passing team or a running team. That's what's our identity. But what Brian's really good at is tailoring the offense to what he's got. So when Burrow came in, he was very keen to establish what Burrow liked to do. So for Burrow, it wasn't under center. Like when Zach Taylor came in, he was talking about he's going to bring the Rams scheme with him. He's kind of loads of play action stuff and all this kind of business. Didn't really materialize because Burrow is not an under center quarterback. He is a shotgun guy. So we became a shotgun first, pass first. And you're kind of like, we've got Joe Mixon. Why are we not running the ball? You know, what's going on? And it's like, well, you know, he's really good at tailoring an offense to what he's got. So he will come in and look at Levis. He will look in to what, you know, what he's got receiving wise. And I think it probably will be a pass first offense. But what will that look like? Will it be under center? I'm not sure. Well, it depends what Levis is most comfortable with. And I think the other thing that he's quite good at, him and Zach, actually, they are quite good at changing things up kind of halfway through the season if things aren't working. He's quite happy to, like I mentioned earlier, he's quite happy to admit if things aren't working and things need a change. And he will change halfway through the season. We've done that the past couple of 3 years, you know, Zach's first year.
It's funny, everything you're telling us is a change. Like you're describing people as the opposite of stubborn, which is exactly what Mike Vrabel was.
Yeah, and I think that's why people. Yeah, I know this is Zach Taylor is not the most popular coach in Cincinnati. People still have a go at him for his offensive play calling, and you know all this and all that. I mean, when we got to the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game, you know those two magical, golden, crazy, bonkers years. It was the defense that actually carried us. And you remember that game we played, you guys, you know, some key interceptions at the right time.
Don't remember that. No,
sorry. But you know what I mean? It was really the defense that kind of, for all the much heralded offense, it was the defense that got us over the line.
Joking aside, that game you're talking about, I mean, it still feels raw to us and it's 2 years ago, but
yeah, I'm sure,
that was an absolutely incredible game with two stellar defenses clashing in truth. We sacked Burrow 9 times or something in that game.
Yeah, and
Tannehill's mental interceptions. Both sides of the ball, defense was well on top.
I agree.
Have gone either way.
But yeah, I mean, just scheme wise, we started off like for instance, was it last year? I think it was. They started with a wide zone running scheme, but then that wasn't working, so they changed it up to a power gap scheme, and that was better. You know, obviously last year's season, rather a big pun, was when Burrow got injured, and Jake Browning had to come in, and they figured out a way for him to thrive as best he could. So again, it's changing things. So what I'm trying to say is he's not afraid to change things schematically if things aren't working. So I would look. He will go in there, and the first person he'll want to talk to is Will Levis, and he'll want to find out what he's comfortable. Are you comfortable under center, or are you comfortable in shotgun more so you can see the whole field? What do we want to do here? Do we want to get the ball out quick? Do we want to kind of just move the change? Are we going to be a West Coast sort of deal? I would also look for him. I would look to draft a big name wide receiver quite early. And I know, Myers, you mentioned T. Higgins, but he's going to get tagged this year.
If
they can't work out a deal, but I don't think they will because they've got Jamar Chase also to pay. So you can't pay everyone. But, you know, I mean, what if they brought in a mix and now Henry's gone? Who was the change of pace running back that I really liked last year? Who was the
Tyjae Spears?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
We're really excited by him. And there's a few
pieces there, isn't there? And but yeah, so I think you're getting a guy that will initially go in and just find out what Will Levis likes to do and then build the offense around him. It seems to me that he's not a a square peg in a round hole sort of guy when it comes to schemes. You know, it's what you've got, what that person, what your quarterback is most comfortable doing, and then building an offense around that. So I would also say, look out to hear the word. You're going to hear the word culture about a million times between now and, you know, camp and during camp. Him and Zach were massive on culture. And we just thought, oh, come on. This is just like coach speak, right? Everyone, every new head coach comes in and says, well, whatever sport, I want to set a new culture. So what does that mean? It means a real, not that there wasn't at, in Nashville, but I'm sure, you know, there will be a point of emphasis to get the locker room a lot really tight. That's one of the things that helped us in the past couple of 3 years. It was everyone in that locker room absolutely loved each other, couldn't wait to go to work with each other. So expect an emphasis on that sort of culture going forward. So, you know, if Brian can bring a few of those elements that were successful in Cincinnati, then I think you'll be good. I think you'll be back on track.
This is all music to my ears, and it'll be music to our colleague Neil's ears, who has been banging the drum for as long as I can remember about the team's need. And don't get me wrong, I don't necessarily 100% agree with him about this, but the drum about adapting to the modern NFL, you know, where the Titans have been a power heavy run first team, and you look at most of the teams that are successful in today's NFL, and they're very different to that. So this is an appointment that he's going to be thrilled by. He's going to be thrilled hearing everything you're saying about the change of direction. About the,
I mean, who knows if he's going to work out or not, but certainly those are the key characteristics of Brian Callahan, I think. From, again, I never hung out with him in the locker room, so I don't know what he's like, you know, on a daily basis. But, and that's the other thing, he's in Cincinnati, it was difficult to grasp what he did, because he was sort of,
yeah,
he wasn't calling plays, so therefore he wasn't, you know, he wasn't front and center. He was just behind Zach all the time. But they had a really tight relationship. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Cincinnati. But yeah, I think most Cincinnati fans are really pleased for him to get the opportunity. You know, the Titans are a good club. They're in a bit of a transitory phase. But yeah, that's equally as exciting. Because like I mentioned to you beforehand, you know, choosing the right time to make a change is always really, really difficult, because, you know, obviously Vrabel did really good things in down there. So it's like, do you persevere because he's obviously capable of, you know, doing something similar again, or do we just feel as though it's time for a change? So they've obviously gone that way. We went through the same sort of thing with Marvin Lewis, and that lasted for 16 years. So,
but obviously, yeah, the time, the change from Marvin Lewis, Andy Dalton to Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow, which was probably over a couple of years, but the Bengals picked first overall in 2020 with the drafting Joe Burrow when they did. And that to me kind of gives us optimism with how quickly they turned that around.
Yeah.
And
then, you know, we didn't do that well in here. Obviously, he had that horrendous injury in that first rookie season, and we went out and got Jamar Chase. So suddenly, we had two, you know, mainstays, you know, weapons, two big weapons to build around. So I think, you know, that's just common sense, the way you build teams, right? You need a couple of key players and key weapons. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I'll let you guys discuss that. I'm sure there's going to be lots of draft discussions of who you want to see, and free agency obviously coming up as well. But yeah, that I wouldn't be surprised if you went out and got someone for Will Levis, or two people for Will Levis. You know, I really like your tight end as well. What's his name?
Chiga Conquo, probably.
Yeah, I like him. I like Ty J. Spears. So already you've got a couple of really good young players there. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Yeah.
It sounds as though it's Titans Bengals in the next AFC Championship game. And it's going to be
Well,
high
it'll be
scoring.
nice change from the Chiefs, and I'm not happy about the Ravens being so good this year, but they look as though they're going to win it all, quite frankly. But yeah, it's I mean, Titans were there, right there, a couple of years ago, right? They were right there in the mix. So there's no, I know some key pieces have gone, but that's kind of sport for you, really. And we're going through that now. You know, we had to. We didn't have to, but they decided not to pay Jesse Bates, and of course he goes to Atlanta and has an all-pro season, and our defense goes to shit a little bit. You know, so you know, players come and go, don't they, really? But there's always new kind of heroes and fan favorites around the corner. So yeah, we're looking forward to kind of adding to what we've got, and I'm sure you're looking forward to seeing what Callahan does draft wise, really.
Yeah, absolutely. We have got to be a change in our thinking as well. I've been desperate for us to draft probably Joe Alt or offensive line talent. That emphasis may change to receiving talent, but we'll certainly discuss that in the coming weeks. I'm going to wrap it up partly because I have other things that are pressing. Emergency podcast. There's a sort of half an hour for you, Paul. Really appreciate your time. I think
My pleasure. Best of luck.
you've informed.
We'll be really yeah, I think Brian's really popular generally speaking within the fan base as a person. So a lot of Bengals fans will be kind of quietly cheering you on. I know that we're playing each other again next year, so or next season rather. So yeah, we'll be looking at how Brian does from afar with great interest and wishing him well.
I appreciate that. I think it's much more informative than if we chatted about it ourselves. So yeah, hopefully our listeners have learned something about the new Tennessee Titans head coach, Brian Callahan. So yeah, thanks Miles, thanks Paul. All the best. Yeah, maybe we'll have a chat in advance of our upcoming game this next season, which will be more exciting potentially than anybody thought possible. So look forward to that.
Sounds good, Adam. Thanks for having me.
All the best.